Let us pray. Holy Spirit, come upon us now in this moment and lift us up through Christ to the Father. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, the opening psalm that we read responsively this morning was an ancient hymn of the Hebrews, a pilgrim song that would be sung as the people ascended and worked their way down the roads, or I should say, as they thought of it, up the roads to Jerusalem. And we can imagine the scene, little bands of worshipers on the road, sandals slapping the stone and the hard-packed earth, the thud of walking sticks, the sharp smell of sweat, the children skipping alongside, the crouching old men bringing up the rear, and the women in bright colors smiling out laughter. One of two men, long of shank, set the pace at the front. He towers like King Saul, a good head above the rest. He whistles as the wineskins and bags slack against his back. The road towards Jerusalem, towards Mount Zion, the blessed Temple Mount, winds through groves of olive trees and barley fields. Scattered hills rise on either side of the path. Scattered hills with lazy loops of smoke wafting from the tops. The scent of singed hair and burning meat is on the breeze. Abba! Abba! Two little girls running to the front to the long-shanked man. Abba, why the smoke? The man in the front halts. He lifts a long finger and points towards the little piles of rocks on each top of each hill. Do you see the altars? Some of our people have left the old ways of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They have married God off to some Canaanite goddess or something. They burn sacrifices on every high hill and under every green tree. They lift their eyes to those hills, and they imagine that their help comes from spirits of stock and stone. The rest of the merry band has almost caught up with the father and his two girls. The man hefts the bag, rolls his neck, and starts again his long-legged march. But we find help elsewhere. And the father throws back his head. Esa'enai el harim me'ayin yavo etzri. Etzri me'im Adonai oseh shamayim v'aretz. I lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence shall come my help? My help is from the Lord God, maker of heaven and earth. The little girls join in. It's a favorite table song. And the rest of the small party lift their voices together. And so together they sing of the God who does not sleep or slumber. Sleep or slumber like an idol on the top of one of the hills. They sing of the God who keeps Israel from the flames of sun and the curses of the moon. They sing of the God who watches over their goings and their comings. And the song rolls on, a pilgrim song for those on a pilgrim journey. Bands of sparrows erupt from the trees, and all the while, the God of that little band watches over these people. His people. He watches over their every step. Now this morning, we have gathered to remember one such pilgrim on just such a journey. A pilgrim whom God watched over with every step. A man who traveled the world, not only geographically, but intellectually as well. Whether it was testifying before Congress, or spraining his ankle in Russia, or commandeering a plane, that was a great story, devouring books or building a seismometer, Louis Lyle was a man always on the move. Long of shank and stride, he towered above others like King Saul, a good head above the rest. And all the while, the triune God watched his every step. And while he traveled life's winding road through groves of olive trees and barley fields, Louis Lyle's destination was always clear: the heavenly Jerusalem, Mount Zion, the Blessed Temple Mount, because the triune God was keeping him, watching over him, and calling him towards eternity. Once in a while, scattered hills rose on either side of the path with lazy loops of drifting smoke, and Louis would halt in the front of his merry little band. He would point a long finger to the little rock piles on the summits of the hills. He would instruct his two little girls, the Cackle Sisters, as he called them. But they, of course, were not the only ones to receive this particular instruction. No, in countless letters to the press, he explained the problem to bishops. "Do you see those altars? Some of our people have left the old ways of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the father of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're marrying God off to some Canaanite goddess or something, I don't know. They burn sacrifices on every high hill and under every green tree. They lift their eyes to those hills and imagine that their help comes from spirits of stock and stone. No, thank you. I'll keep the 1928 prayer book. Thank you." The triune God used Louis Lyle. St. Stephen's Church would not be here. The building you are sitting in would not be here if it was not for Louis Lyle. If the Holy Spirit had not prompted him, I wouldn't be standing here. The triune God was keeping Louis, watching over him, and calling him towards eternity. And it was here in this place that he would throw back his head beside his wife and two girls, and with the other pilgrims in this place, they would sing of the God who does not sleep or slumber like an idol on the top of a hill. They would sing of the God who keeps his church from the flames of sun and curses of moon. They would sing of the God who watches over their goings and comings. And all through Louis' pilgrimage, the triune God was keeping him, watching over him, and calling him towards eternity. And this past Saturday evening, Louis reached Jerusalem. In his sunroom, surrounded by family, he took the final steps of his pilgrimage. And as I prayed over him the litany for the dying and the prayers for the commendation of his soul, all appropriately from the 1928 prayer book, just so you know, God was opening the temple gates. And with the oil of holy unction on his forehead, he stretched a long leg across the threshold. And even now, the triune God is keeping him, watching over him, and calling him deeper into eternity as he awaits the resurrection of the dead. And maybe, just maybe, if we listen close beside the altar which is the overlap of heaven and earth, the very gates of the heavenly Jerusalem, if we listen closely, we may still hear Louis singing his pilgrim song, probably in a foreign language, maybe Hebrew, but probably German. Now, especially in the presence of Jesus Christ, he belts out his testimony. "I will lift mine eyes to the hills." Does my help come from there? Nah. "Whence comes my help? My help comes even from the Lord who hath made heaven and earth. He will not suffer your foot to be moved, and he that keeps you will not sleep. Behold, he that keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord himself is your keeper. The Lord is your defense upon your right hand, so that the sun shall not burn you by day, neither the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. Yes, it is even he that shall keep your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, forevermore. And all of God's people say together to Louis's hymn, Amen. And so in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, we rejoice in God's goodness to Louis and his faithfulness through all those 97 years. Amen.